On November 14th, the Center for Puppetry Arts opens its new museum. It will feature a large collection of Jim Henson puppets. For those of you unfamiliar with Big Birds and Prissy Pigs, he's the creator of Sesame Street and the Muppets. Cheryl Henson, Jim Henson's daughter, was in town last week for DragonCon. She's the president of the Jim Henson Foundation, which awards grants to puppet entrepreneurs. She and Jim Henson archivist Karen Falk spoke with producer Gabby Watts at the Center for Puppetry Arts. Cheryl began by talking about her siblings, all of whom have been involved with puppetry.
There are five kids in our family, and we all grew up building puppets and puppeteering and being involved in the company in different ways. And we've all chosen different paths within this field. And it's a very exciting art form. I think that not that many people realize how many possibilities there are with puppetry, that it's not only what we think of as Muppets with television and film, but there's also so much great live theater, the kind of work that's done here at the Center for Puppetry Arts, but also the ideas behind puppetry. It's a very rich field, and I think everyone's, you know, found their own niche and found it very exciting.
And Karen, how have you got to do what you do?
I was really lucky about 23 years ago, met Jane Henson and was hired to do archives, as she put it, for the company. And the history of the company, of course, is very rich, and there was a desire to document it and then present it. I've been putting together all of Jim Henson's papers, but also all the artwork, scripts, and now puppets, media materials that represent the creative output of what Jim Henson did and then the company in the last 25 years as well. It's been great to work with museums and now particularly with the Center for Puppetry Arts to be able to tell these stories in a public place where we can share the creativity.
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational. This is what we call the Muppet Show!
Of the Muppets that are in the collection that will be opening in November here at the Center for Puppetry Arts, the Muppets have been around as about 60 years, and so I can imagine that their characters have evolved in some way. So is there kind of one specific Muppet version, you know, that you're trying to preserve in this museum?
We are really excited about showing the full range of my dad's work, not just his work, but the work that he did with so many different collaborators over those 60 years. He first started doing puppets with my mother 60 years ago on local television in Washington, D.C. And so to be able to put all of that work out there, like a great smorgasbord of his creativity, that's really exciting for us.
And is there... because I imagine, you know, like Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy have been made many times, the actual building of the puppet. So Which of those two, for example, you know, which version of those puppets are there? Are they from one specific movie or a show? Or
the Kermit that's here is the Kermit that we all know and love from today. I mean, Kermit hasn't changed much since the early 1970s. There are other puppets, though. The Ralph here is a very early Ralph. Ralph was a puppet that was created originally in 1962 for a Purina Dog Chow commercial, and a real favorite for Jim, and played many roles throughout the 1960s. And the look of the Ralph that you'll see on the new Muppet Show, for example, was really established really in the early 1970s. So it's kind of exciting to see this Ralph here, who's from the 1960s.
I tell you, Ralph, there's only one answer to this dog food problem, asparagus, tender, succulent asparagus.
Well, that may be all right for you, Baskerville, but I like Purina Dog Chow.
But asparagus is nourishing. It's got vitamins.
Purina Dog Chow is more nourishing. It's got all 43 vitamins and minerals a fella needs to make him feel all dog.
Disney owns the Muppets now, and there's going to be the new show. But they've just been around for such a long period of time. You know, are they, do you say the Muppets are maybe a reflection? Do they reflect what's going on in the world? Or, you know, in different movies that they've been, you know, are they, Are they like changing with us?
I'd say yes, absolutely. That it is a reflection of culture and what's going on, and that they're always like playing off of what is happening today. And not just the Muppet show characters, but Sesame Street as well. They're always bringing contemporary stars, contemporary concepts, new technologies and stuff into the work that they're doing. But it's really fun to see that full spread of creativity over all these years. But at the heart of it, no matter how complex the technology gets, at the heart of the performance is almost always the human hand. So even though we get into complex computer digital puppetry, that if it's a good performance, it's almost always because it's a good puppeteer performing it with his hand or her hand.
So I guess going into the other puppets that are going to be in the new collection that's opening, are there any puppets that people wouldn't know, people aren't familiar with, and certain, you know, puppet types as well?
One of the efforts that we made was to provide the audiences with a range of puppets that really represent, again, the body of Jim's work and what they do here at the center, too, in terms of representing puppetry. So there are things like a shadow puppet that was used on The Muppet Show, and people really don't think of shadow puppetry. There's a very early puppet from Sam and Friends from the 1950s named Omar, and he's right at the start of the exhibit, and it's really exciting to get him here because people have not seen this character for 60 years or 55 years or something. So it's really fun to have somebody like that that people don't know about out there.
Sam and Friends, brought to you by SK.
Other interesting puppet techniques that my father used, like marionettes, that he's so well known for the hand puppet Muppet style, but he also was fascinated by marionettes and brought in some great marionette experts to work with. And one of my favorites that's going on display here is Leroy the Donkey from a show called Musicians of Bremen. And he's almost a full-scale donkey. He's really quite marvelous. But they also use marionettes to do many, marionette technology to do many things like have Kermit ride the bicycle, or to in Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas to have the otters walk out across the snow. And when you start looking for those techniques and how they were used, it's really quite marvelous.
Are there any puppets that didn't make the cut?
We have donated over 350 puppets to the Center for Puppetry Arts, and not all of them can go on display now. And so this is just a small selection going on display, and over the years, the center will be able to bring out more and more of those puppets. They'll be rotating some of the ones that are going display off, bringing out new ones. For example, in the Dark Crystal area, they have one large case, but they have an Augra, they have a Skeksis, they have a Mystic, and only one of those can be on display at a time. So you'll be able to come back and get to see some of the others. So it's not so much that they didn't make the cut as that there's so much that it can't all go on display at once. But that said, I do think there are some that did not make the cut and actually were not donated. We only donated the ones that actually could be refurbished well enough to go on display. But I know we donated, 460 items, and there are 350 puppets among those
And there are props
items.
And set pieces, costumes in particular, which is the sideline, but they're so meticulously made, it's really interesting to be able to show the craftsmanship in them.
Are they costumes for puppets or costumes for people?
Costumes for puppets. Because when you think about if Kermit is wearing a trench coat or a character from Sesame Street needs to be a queen or a postman or something, every time they need a costume change, and you can't rent those costumes, you know, they have to be custom made.
Oh, that's interesting, because I've heard that with puppets a lot of times you'll just build a different puppet for different costumes because it's very hard to change puppets.
The reason why that would happen is particularly in live theater, if it's too hard to do a costume change quickly. And so they'll build multiple versions of the puppet wearing different costumes because you can't change the costume on a puppet fast enough to enter into a new scene. And sometimes that's true for television and film as well, where it's a real specialty costume. I think that the Miss Piggy from Treasure Island is going on display here. That is a spectacular costume that Polly Smith made, and that pig only wears that one Treasure Island outfit. It's all done with feathers, and it's her Polynesian extravaganza. It's an amazing costume. But that one, that pig wears that costume. So every once in a while, there's a specialty costume, but in general, they can be changed.
Looking back, I never know how I ever let you go. But destiny could see we deserve to have another day.
So going into the Jim Henson Foundation, the Muppets persist in puppetry now, and I think people in America particularly, they often think of that as puppetry, like that is what a puppet is. But what are some, from, you know, awarding grants and seeing a lot of different people doing cool things and now the contemporary time with puppetry, what are some things that you've seen that are really exciting that are either, you know, innovations of the Muppet or just completely, totally different forms of puppetry?
Well, I want to start off by saying that my dad started the Jim Henson Foundation in 1982 specifically to support artists working in their own styles of puppetry because he saw that puppeteers were really getting pressured into doing a Muppet style. That is only one style. There are so many different styles. And also that puppetry should be or can be a great personal art form and that nobody should be pushed into just imitating somebody else's work. So at the Jim Henson Foundation, we've given over 700 grants to over 300 different artists, almost all specifically for their own type of puppetry. And as I say, we want to encourage that kind of experimentation, that make it yourself. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be through a corporation. You can do puppetry in your basement. You can do it as a soiree. It can be off the grid.
Do you two have maybe in the collection here, one puppet that you feel affection or affinity for?
I always answer that question as Ralph the dog, because he was so important historically, and I'm a historian, and I've looked at Jim Henson's life, and so throughout the 60s, Ralph was really the character that put Jim on the national stage. But also, Ralph is just a fabulous character. He's so funny. He's the guy you want to have a beer with and sort of the more relaxed alter ego for Jim Henson.
Well, I hate to tell you, Ralph, but you're a dog puppet.
No. I'm a real dog. Honest, I can prove it. Look, my dinner dish has dog written on it. See, it says right here, it says cat.
No,
that's the wrong one. Let me get this dinner dish off. There, see, it's dog. I'm a dog. Oh, please, I beg of you. That's begging, see? And look, I can even play dead.
I have to say that Robin the Frog is a special favorite because when I was 9 years old, they shot a special called The Frog Prince. And that was the first time that they created Robin. And he was the frog that got kissed. And as a 9-year-old girl, I just fell in love with Robin. And my father actually gave me one of the production Robin. And I would practice my puppetry using my little Robin back alone in my room and practicing my lip sync. And I just loved having my own little child size Kermit. It was Kermit's nephew, so my Robin was Kermit's niece.
Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it.